This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilman rabbal alameen. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. So the story of the people of the cave, qissatu ashab al-kahf. And that, like the story of yesterday, it is in Surah Al-Kahf. And in fact, this story gives the entire surah its name. So Surah Al-Kahf is based on the story of the people of the cave. And that might tell us, wallahu a'lam, that this story is central to the surah itself. And it reflects the message of the surah, right? And the main theme and the lessons of it. And the story of the people of the cave may have been a question that had come to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam by the Meccans through the people of the book. We say may have been because the hadith about it is not sahih, but there is some evidence that could attest to it, to the fact that the people of Mecca wanted to test, and in that they were seeking to expose the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as being a non-prophet by asking the people of the book who have knowledge, tell us about something that we can ask him, sort of to expose him. So the people of the book, one of the things, according to that weak narration, one of the things that they asked the Meccans to ask them about youngsters and lads and young men. Now it's gone? Okay. Young men who had slept in the cave, what happened to them and what is their story? So this tells us that this was a special story that very few people knew about. And if you wanted to know it in detail, you had to be a prophet of Allah. So consider also yourself very fortunate that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam received this revelation, and through him you understand this story, because without it, it'd be lost in history. You would know very little about it. And Allah Azza wa Jal here in the surah begins on ayah number 9. He says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Am hasibta anna ashab al-kahfi wa raqimi kanu min ayatina ajaba. Did you suppose that the people of the cave and al-raqim, the tablet where their names and story is written on, do you suppose that they were the only wondrous thing among our signs? And here Allah Azza wa Jal is alerting all of us. He says, as incredible that as that story is, and it is truly incredible, but sometimes we as human beings, we fixate on the extraordinary because it is out of the ordinary, and we forget that in ordinary things, and a lot of ordinary things, and ordinary because they happen all the time, that these are greater signs than the signs that we are looking for. That the people of the cave sleeping for 300 or some years and then waking up is truly something wondrous. But what is even more wondrous than that is the rising and the setting of the sun. Right? Of people being born and dying. Of Allah Azza wa Jal answering your dua out of nowhere, things happen to you. So Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that Allah Azza wa Jal has many signs that surround you. So when you only think that the only wondrous thing are these signs, you miss out on all the other signs that you are living through. Because somebody could say, Banu Israel saw many signs, right? And the people before saw many signs. And you may say to yourself, indeed, if I were to see these, I would be a believer. Where are the signs that I'm supposed to see? So Allah Azza wa Jal wants to tell you, are the people of the cave a bigger sign or the Quran? Huh? The Quran, the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, is a bigger sign. If you don't see that, if you have not felt it, then study the Quran to understand that that is a bigger sign. Or the movement of bodies in the sky, in the universe, is that a bigger sign? Imagine, right? This incredible sign of the universe, size of the universe, that just lies beyond our human comprehension. All of this is not incredible enough for you. But a group of men that sleep for 300 years, that is incredible. Which is more wondrous? So keep that in mind, right? Because it's really helpful as a lesson, and consider it to be the first lesson of today. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا. Now is the beginning of the explanation of that story. He says, when the fitya, the fatah is someone who's from 19 to 30. So they're young men. So he says, they took refuge in the cave and they say, رَبَّنَا, O our Rabb. And when you supplicate to Allah Azza wa Jalla with His rububiyya, Ya Rabbi, what are you asking Him? You're saying, Ya Allah, who, and this is the meaning of Rabb, took care of me and takes care of me and is there whenever I need Him, give me. So you're asking by His rububiyya, O who feeds me, feed me. O who protects me, protect me. Because Allah Azza wa Jal is your Rabb, right? So if you are the mother or father of your family, you are Rabbul Usra, they call him. The Rabb of the Usra. Why are you called Rabbul Usra? Because you take care of the family. So who's Rabbul Alameen? The caretaker of all beings. So when they say, فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَوْيَا أَوَا الرَّبِّ آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. Grant us a mercy from you. وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. And grant us success or guidance in our affairs. So they're asking for mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal, and also they're asking for guidance in what they are going to encounter. So Allah Azza wa Jal here, and here He abbreviates the story and then He goes on to explain it. He says, فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ أَذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا. So we caused them to sleep in the cave for many years. سِنِينَ عَدَدًا, meaning you could count the years. ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَامِينَ لِمَا لَبِثُوا أَمَدًا. Then we brought them back to life to see, when they start to wonder, how many years have we slept? Who among them will be able to correctly predict how many years they've slept? Meaning Allah Azza wa Jal wants them to know how many years they've slept, and Allah wants people around to also know how many years they've slept, because Allah has a lesson behind all of that. So this is a mu'jiza, this is a karama, a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal to prove something. There's a lesson behind it. Then when Allah says, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ, He says, we tell you their story in truth. This is an important ayah, by the way. Because a lot of people could tell you things about them, but they're not true. See, to understand the value of what you have in the Quran, you will get pure, uncontaminated knowledge exactly of things, how they happened, where they happened, without any doubt. And that is the great lesson of reading it in the Quran. If you did not have it, people will speculate how many years, their names, why that happened to them, what was their faith, what was the outcome of that encounter. All of this will be unknown to you, and you'll be completely and utterly confused about it. To the extent that you're not going to get anything from that story. But when Allah says, we're going to tell you their story in truth, meaning listen to it, this is exactly what happened, and this is what you need to know. Nothing beyond it. This is what you need to know. So listen carefully to it, because everything that you're going to be absorbing right now is the truth from Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah Azza wa Jal, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدًى. They are young men who believed in their Rabb, and we increased them in guidance. Right? That is the essence And the most important thing in their story, what makes their story possible, is this: that they had iman, and because of that iman and their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah said, and we increased them in guidance. And by the way, this is a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to increase you in guidance. So we always are pleading with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path. What does it mean when we're asking Allah, guide us to the straight path? If you are already a Muslim, and you already pray and fast, and you already have tawheed, what does it mean when you say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path? It means several things. Among them, steadfastness, to be established on it and not to move away from it, so not to deviate, and also to increase in guidance, because the more that you know and the more that you do, the higher your iman. So if I know this about Allah Azza wa Jal, this bunch, and I know a little bit more, my iman increases. If I do this much in worship, but I do more, my iman increases. And that is all based on a ziyada in huda, an increase in huda. So if you give, if you have iman, Allah opens the doors of huda for you. And if you seek it, Allah gives more of it to you. And so here Allah blessed them with increase in guidance. Right? وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, and we strengthen their hearts. إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا, with, when they, in resolve and determination, said, رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, our Rabb is the Rabb, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, we will not call on any other one but Him. لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطًا, indeed we would have said and done something quite outrageous. Here Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, we strengthen their heart. Why is that important? Because they were rising against their people. And how old were they again? We said, between what and what? 19 to 30. So they're young, right? And so they're rising against everybody, their parents, their families, their neighbors, their society, friends, everybody that they know is going to turn against them, and they will be alone, and they will face the threat of violence, exclusion, denial of provisions, jobs. So imagine yourself today, if you simply want to understand this, if you decided that you're going to be 100% forthcoming with everybody around you when it comes to halal and haram. Allah loves this and Allah hates that. Uncompromising. So you go out into society and you speak that truth to everybody. Do you imagine the consequences of all of that? Imagine publishing something like that on social media. The complete truth as you see it. If you see something wrong, no. This is it. As Allah and the Prophet say it. Imagine the backlash. Right? The attacks, you'd be canceled, your job will be in jeopardy, you'd be fired. Could you do this without strength? That you would say, I do not care, I believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, and I will weather the consequences. So Allah says, we strengthen their heart. And the expression here is, we tied their hearts. As if the heart is like that, and it's agitated. So when you tie it, you fix it in place. It doesn't move. That's the expression. So they said this. They declared it to everybody. Then they confessed and declared the wrong belief of their people. They said, هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمُنَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَا, these are people who have taken instead of Allah Azza wa Jal آلِهَا, meaning people that they prayed to and ask for help and support. لولا يأتون عليهم بسلطان بين فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا. Right? When they said, why do they not, meaning our people, bring proof to support the claim that other than Allah Azza wa Jal could be an ilah. Where is the proof for that? Who is more unjust than the one who lies against Allah Azza wa Jal? This, by the way, is what makes the next thing possible. The miracle of the sleep in the cave would not be possible without that iman. So when you're reading the story, understand the most important part of it, which is not that they've slept. The most important part of it is that they had iman that made that miracle possible. So when they say, where is the proof that so-and-so is an ilah? That is a great concept to keep in mind. You want to claim that such and such is divine, such and such can intercede, such and such listens to your dua, such and such can save you. You want to make that claim? Where is your proof? The burden of proof is on you. And the proof is what? Something that hadn't been revealed from Allah Azza wa Jal. Not a thought that you have and not a feeling. Not something that you inherited from another human being like you, but rather something, sultan mubin, a clear evidence from Allah Azza wa Jal. Yes, pray to so and so, they can help you. And Allah said so. Then Allah authorized it. Otherwise, no one can intercede and no one can protect and no one can answer a dua except Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's why they say, فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. Who is more, a greater wrongdoer than the one who lies against Allah Azza wa Jal? And you can take from that, الْإِفْتِرَاءُ كَذِبًا عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. You can take from it is that when you want to speak about Allah, about Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, you better be sure that what you're saying is right. Right? As he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, إن كذبا علي ليس ككذبا على أحد. He says, lying against me is not just like lying against anybody. من كذب علي متعمدا فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. Who lies against me intentionally, let him acquire or receive his seat in hellfire. So you could lie against anybody, right? Even your parents, your children, relatives, strangers. Lying is haram. But when it comes to Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, lying is a grave matter. And lying against Allah Azza wa Jal is a grave matter. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبَ هَذَا حَلَالُ وَهَذَا حَرَامُ. Don't say falsely with your tongue, this is halal and this is haram. If you know it to be true from Allah Azza wa Jal, then so. If not, what do you say? Allahu A'lam, I do not know. Then you're safe. Right? Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِذَا اعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ. It says, now that you have boycotted them, secluded yourself from them and what they worship, except Allah Azza wa Jal, seek refuge in the cave and Allah will grant you rahmah from him and will grant you comfort in your affairs. So here is their separation from their people. And that's the other thing that made the cave possible. What made the cave the cave? Because if they've decided that they are going to stay with their people, we would not have the cave. Why was the separation important? Because they feared for themselves and their religion. If we stay, they'll force us to be like them, or they will kill us. So if in order to save your iman, you need to separate from the people of falsehood, then you must separate. I'll repeat that, right? And that separation exists till today. And we have to practice it every single day. When you go online, outside your house, talking to people, you always must have in mind a separation between what is pleasing to Allah and what is not. When physically, when you are present anywhere, if a place is displeasing to Allah, then you separate, distance yourself. If virtually that's the case, then if even inside your house, that location, virtual location is displeasing to Allah, then you separate. That channel, displeasing. That lecture is displeasing to Allah, then you have to do this i'tizal. You separate to protect yourself from doubts and from temptations. If not, you'll be subject and you'll fall victim to them. That's how you preserve your iman. And don't be so deluded and think that you are strong. There are limitations to our strength, and some of these things can catch you when you and I are weak, or in areas where when we are weak. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, you've separated now from them. So Allah Azza wa Jal, and you're going to take refuge in the cave. And if we say, like some of the Al-Mufassirun, the people of Tafsir have speculated, they said that they are Ahlu Ni'mah, that these young men were rich, or they come from rich families. Allah knows best, right? But if we say that's the case, do you think taking refuge in a cave is easy? Where's the food? Where's the water? How do you sleep? Who's going to protect you? Right? You leave behind all the comforts that you've grown accustomed to. The security of your parents and your homes and your room, right? My own room, my own things, my own friends, the things that make everything possible and easy. Everything. You extract yourself from all of the things that you love. 100%. The clothes that you like, the shopping that you're used to, the tea and the coffee. And I'm just trying kind of to make it as close to us as possible. All the things that you like, stop. And you take refuge in a cave. Dark, humid. This is the nature of a cave, right? But Allah says to them that if you do this, and that's probably through what? Something that they felt. Because who's talking to them? How did they know that if you take refuge in a cave, you'll find all of this? How do they know? Just as you know that if I leave this for the sake of Allah, Allah will give me something better. And you really feel that. That's how. So they believe that if they leave their people behind and they take refuge in the cave, Allah will grant them mercy and ease of living. That's the mirfaqah. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says what? And now you're going to see Allah's care. How you see Allah takes care of them. He says, وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينَ. You see the sun when it rises, it moves to the side, it moves to the right, right? Meaning the light of the sun moves to the right. وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. And when it's going to set, the light also moves away from them, to the left. وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ. And they are living in a spacious space, area within the cave. So Allah Azza wa Jal now commands the sun to take care of them. For all that period, just now you would see how Allah Azza wa Jal will care for you if you champion Allah Azza wa Jal. If you care about Allah, how Allah cares for you. So He commands the sun that when you're going to rise, don't disturb them with your rays. So go to the right. And when you're going to set, تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ, it means that the rays of the sun do enter the cave. Because in the morning, it doesn't at all. But in the evening, as the sun is setting, the rays of the sun do enter the cave, but does not disturb their bodies when they're asleep. Right? That's the meaning of it. Allah says, ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. This is from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. If Allah guides you, you are guided. And if you're not guided, no one can guide you. لَن تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا. No one can help you and no one can guide you. That is, if you submit to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and He guides you in ways that no one can guide. Guides you in ways that will boggle your mind. In incredible ways. But if someone lacks guidance and they refuse it, and that is the end of their story, it doesn't matter how much you try. No one can guide them if Allah has already destined that they're not going to be guided. Then Allah Azza wa Jal also continues with their story and He says, وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ. He says, you think if you were to see them, they're asleep, right? So they're asleep, sound asleep. They can't feel anybody around them. But if you were to see them, you would think that they are awake while they are asleep. ونقلبهم ذات اليمين وذات الشمال, and we turn them from side to side. Yeah, the scholars say, why is it that Allah Azza wa Jal turns them from side to side? So that the bodies are not damaged, so the blood can move. An interesting question maybe to ask yourself. Allah Azza wa Jal could suspend all these laws, so He doesn't have to move them at all, right? But He still moves them, right? Why is that, right? Maybe the wisdom behind it, wallahu a'lam, is that even when Allah Azza wa Jal suspends some laws, He does not suspend all of them. And you still need to pursue your objectives through the laws that Allah Azza wa Jal had set. So even from Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, right? In the ayah, when he took some sand in his hand and he threw it in the face of the disbelievers, and Allah Azza wa Jal told him, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى, and you did not throw when you threw, but Allah threw. Type, was it needed that a Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would throw the first kind of phase of it? Was it needed? Allah could have just sent the sand directly. But here is also to say what, wallahu a'lam, an effort is needed. Put the first effort, Allah takes care of the rest. So not all these laws are going to be suspended. So don't think that if you are really close to Allah Azza wa Jal, and if you start thinking that you are a wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, and no one's supposed to think that they are a wali of Allah. But even if you are, that somehow the laws of Allah do not apply to you. Oh, they apply to everybody, right? وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسَطٌ ذِرَاعَيْهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ, and he said that their dog is sitting there with his four legs at the entrance of the cave. And one benefit that the scholars have taken from that is that if you keep the company of the righteous, Allah elevates you, even if you're an animal, right? So why was he mentioned? Because he was with them, right? So even if you don't feel like being in a halaqah, you don't feel like coming to the masjid, but being in the company of the righteous, being in the place that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves, brings you the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and changes you. So be where Allah wants you to be, and the opposite is true, by the way. If you find yourself where Allah Azza wa Jalla hates, that changes you as well. Right? Then Allah says subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's also part of His protection from them. لو اطلعت عليهم لوليت منهم فرارا ولملئت منهم رعبا. If you were to see them, you would run away from them, you would escape and run away from them, and you would be filled with fear. And that's how Allah Azza wa Jal kept them a secret. That's how Allah Azza wa Jal protected them. So if you were to imagine yourself somehow climbing to the cave, just wanting to explore that area, as you approach that area, you'd find yourself being filled with anxiety and you don't understand why. And if your eyes were to fall on them, you would be so terrified that you would never stand, but you run to save your life and you would not know why. And that is how Allah Azza wa Jalla protects. Right? In ways that escape our predictions and our comprehension. So with Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, نُصِرْتُ بِالرُّعْبِ مَسِيرَةَ شَهْرٍ. He said, I was championed with fear the distance of a month. Meaning that anyone living the distance of a month from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when he was in Medina would not think about attacking Medina because he would be afraid of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Even if the numbers do not strike fear in a person's heart. How many are they in Medina, right? But he will never attempt or think about it because when they start thinking about it, they'll be afraid of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So they would not attack. So you see again how Allah Azza wa Jal protects. And Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah defends the believers. So this is one thing that you can take for yourself as you read the story. If you champion Allah, Allah defends you. Somehow, in ways that you may not be aware of, or you could not predict, but Allah Azza wa Jal defends you, and Allah protects you, and Allah takes care of you, but Allah wants to see something from you, that you trust Him more than people, and you put Him before people, and you're willing to sacrifice for His sake, like all these people have sacrificed. So these have sacrificed a lot, and that's why Allah Azza wa Jal blessed them with this sign and with this mention in the Quran. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, when He says, and so we resurrected them so that they could ask each other. Some of them started to ask, how long have we slept? So one party said, we slept a day or part of a day. Less than 24 hours, right? Less than 12 hours. So 12 hours or less. That's what they thought. Less than 12 hours. The other said, رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثْتُمْ. Your Rabb knows how long you've actually slept. And there's an adab here, by the way, right? That we may miss. Which is that if there is no way to resolve an argument, or the argument is not really beneficial, let go of it and move on. You know how some of us have to win every argument? And some of us are really argumentative in terms of, I have to win and I have to prove that you're wrong and I have to be the winner all the time, and you can't let go of that. Quarrelsome by nature or by socialization. But here, how long did we sleep? Less than 12 hours. Well, you know what? Allah knows best. And they move on to what is important. And if you can be such a person who knows the value of the argument and to dedicate to it the time that it actually needs, you'll be able to avoid a lot of arguments and a lot of disputes. Oh, this is not important. It doesn't really matter whether it was A or B. Move on. So that's why they said, فَبَعْثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ. Send one of you with this silver money that you have, so that he could buy food for you in the Medina, in the city. وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ. And let him be subtle and gentle. وَلَا يُشْعِرَنَّ بِكُمْ أَحَدًا. Let him not alert people to you, who you are or where you are. Meaning be what? Private and undercover. Right? Don't let people know who you are. إِنَّهُمْ إِيَظْهَرُ عَلَيْكُمْ. If they know who you are and they come and they overpower you, يَرْجُمُوكُمْ, they will stone you or force you to go back to their religion, and then if that happens, you'll never be successful. That's what they were afraid of and they were dealing with. If they find you, they will take you. And if they take you, two things will happen to you. The first is that they will stone you to death. They will kill you. The second, they will force you to go back to their faith, and if that happens, you've lost forever. And it's interesting that Allah Azza wa Jal, He put, or they, when they spoke, they put stoning first to indicate that their inclination is to die for their faith. Right? So it's not like if they find us, they'll force us or they can kill us. No, if they find us, they'll kill us because they will never let go of this faith or force us. So the likely outcome is that they will kill us because we're going to be strong in rejecting their message. Then Allah Azza wa Jal explains it. The Sunnah doesn't explain much beyond this, right? Much beyond what is there in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and so we made people find them, right? We made people find who they are, despite their effort to stay a secret. لِيَعْلَمُوا, so that they would know that the promise of Allah is true and that the hour is true. There is no doubt about it. So why, let's say the main reason, that Allah Azza wa Jal caused them to sleep and then wake up after 309 years or 300 years? So that people will know that the Day of Judgment is true. So those who disbelieve in it at that time will see that if Allah Azza wa Jal could make them sleep for such a long time and then bring them back to life, then the Day of Judgment is a possibility. Right? So sometimes you need something out of the ordinary to wake you up to the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal can do these things. Tayyib, you actually see something like this every day. It's not 300 years, but you see something like that every day, right? When you sleep and wake up, right? And so maybe that is why Allah Azza wa Jal caused or makes us sleep and wake up every single day. So that every single day you have a reminder of death and resurrection, death and resurrection, death and resurrection. Because what's going to happen to us at the end of our life is a sleep like that, and then we wake up again, right? So Allah Azza wa Jal wants to show that to them. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَقَالُوا ابْنُوا عَلَيْهِمْ بُنْيَانَا. Some of the people there, they said, build something, you know, to commemorate their spot. Because it is said, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ, that they passed away, meaning they died soon after. So they said, build something at that spot to commemorate it. رَبُّهُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِهِمْ. Their Lord knows the best what is going to happen to them. What is their affair? What is their condition? Because they've died again, right? Others said, لَنَتَّخِذَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ مَسْجِدًا. We're going to build a masjid on top of them, right? And here we know from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام that if there's a grave, are we allowed to build a masjid on top of that? No or yes? No, right? Because the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said in no uncertain terms that Allah عز وجل has cursed the people of the book for doing so. If a righteous person or a prophet of theirs would die, they will build a masjid on top of that. So this is something that is haram in Islam. And what you find in Medina is something very different. In Medina, the masjid was not built on the grave. The masjid was there first, and the grave of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was outside. And then when they had to expand, then they've included that in, but it was not originally built on top of the grave of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The last thing here that I want to maybe mention, inshallah, is that Allah Azza wa Jal does state how long they've stayed, 300 years or 309 years. And then also Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentions how many they are, and there's a benefit in it. So Allah Azza wa Jal, when he says, they say they are three and the fourth is their dog, and they say that they are five and the sixth is their dog, rajman bil ghayb, guessing blindly. So in blind guessing, they saying, it is this and it is that. These are the numbers. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَيَقُولُونَ سَبْعَةُ وَثَامِنُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ. And they say they are seven and the eighth is their dog. And the Mufassirun, beginning with Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, they've said that they are seven and the eighth is their dog, because Allah Azza wa Jal does not discredit this third option by saying that it is a blind guess, right? But what is important here is قُلْ رَبِّ أَعْلَمُ بِعِدَّتِهِمْ. Even after this, Allah knows how many they were. There's also an important lesson in that, which is, does it matter how many they were? Three or five or seven? Does it? It doesn't matter. So sometimes when we are drawn to these stories in the Quran or stories in general, we tend to focus on irrelevant or secondary details, and we miss the heart of the story, the objective, the lesson that is in it. So Allah Azza wa Jal wants to teach you something important in the Quran. So Allah strips that story of all these secondary details. You don't need to know all of these things to focus on the main part of the story. So when you read the books of tafsir, don't be distracted by the fact that in some books of tafsir, they're going to be start talking about their names, and no one knows their names, or location, and no one knows the location. So ask yourself, is this relevant and pertinent to the story? Like if we were going to talk about they are in Turkey right now, or Syria right now, or the cave is here and that, does it change anything? But it's only mere speculation. The names, mere speculation. The time where they lived, mere speculation. But that's not what you really need to be occupied with. Be occupied with what Allah is saying. Don't be occupied with what Allah is not saying. Allah omits it for a reason. And focuses on this for a reason. So focus on what Allah is focusing on. So it doesn't really matter. So that's why Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَلَا تُمَارِ فِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا. Don't argue about it except a brief argument. Meaning mention it and move on. Meaning the names, we don't have no access. The number, just mention and move on. And if somebody wants to argue with you, decline that argument. And that's how you acquire wisdom. You look at the objective and the importance of that argument. If there is no good in it, move on. If there is good, continue to argue. بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ, in the best of manners. But if it's not, then let it be a brief ظاهرة, meaning superficial argument. You don't go deep. This is it, and you keep moving on so that you learn to focus on the most important of things and you let go of what Allah does not want you to focus on. So the story of the cave, in summary, inshallah, the story of the cave is talking about this refuge that Allah Azza wa Jal grants every believer, them in particular, but every other believer who sacrifices for Allah Azza wa Jal and feels the vulnerability of that sacrifice. Ya Allah, I'm going to leave this for your sake, but I feel alone. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm going to let go of this, but everybody else is enjoying this, but except for me. And I feel left behind because of this. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, this is haram, I'm not doing it, but everybody's getting rich because they are doing that haram thing, but not me. So when you feel left behind, sort of in a sense even battered with life, you feel that you need protection, you need feel that you need support from Allah Azza wa Jal, your support is this cave. Metaphorical in our sense, but real and physical in their sense. That is the refuge that Allah Azza wa Jal gives to you. So you say, where is my cave? You don't need to run into a physical cave for you to find that refuge. Let your cave be the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. When you are weak, let your cave be the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Hold it and read until you could feel that cave surrounding you. And then you will feel as if Allah Azza wa Jal said to them, the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal coming to you and the comfort and ease of Allah Azza wa Jal coming your way. Let it be your dua as your cave. Let it be the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal as your cave. You sit and you engage in Allah's dhikr. You sit and you ask Allah Azza wa Jal and you feel as if you're being surrounded by that cave, which is Allah's protection. And if Allah is protecting you, you don't need any other protection. And if Allah enriches you, you don't need anybody else to make you rich. And if you need somebody to... And if you're feeling lonely, you're not going to be lonely with Allah Azza wa Jal. If you feel alone, if you feel vulnerable, if Allah is with you, you're not alone anymore. So yes, the cave at times will feel lonely. A cave at times will feel barren and empty. But that is what we expect. But if you venture and you enter the cave, then you'll find the cave has a lot more mercy than what is outside that cave. So ask Allah Rabbil Alameen, Arhamar Rahimeen, to make us of those who read His book and those who contemplate it and those who seek refuge in His protection, seek refuge in His words, seek refuge in dua, seek refuge in the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. We ask Allah Rabbil Alameen to fill our hearts with iman, to make us of those who willingly and lovingly sacrifice for His sake. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the people of Jannah and protect us from hellfire. Ya Allah, protect us from our own weakness, from the temptations of the shaitan, from the temptations that we find all around us. We ask you, Ya Rabbil Alameen, to strengthen us in this life and in the Akhirah. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.